As I told somebody before church, it's good to be back in civilization. Now, y'all are laughing, but we've been in West Virginia for the last 2 weeks. I mean, it is good to have straight roads. Amen. And cell phone service. Amen. If you got your Bible tonight, go to the book of 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1 and Matthew chapter number 6. 1 John chapter number 1, Matthew chapter number 6. First John chapter 1, Matthew chapter number 6. I trust you'll pray for us. We leave out Saturday morning going toward Wilmington, and we're starting a revival meeting with Brother Slough over in Holly Ridge. And I've not talked to him in a few weeks. I don't even know if they're still down there. Last I heard, they had about 22 inches of rain. So I hope they're okay. 1 John chapter number 1, I want to read verse number 9. And then we'll move to Matthew here in just a moment. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, very familiar verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to read that one more time. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful tonight for the forgiveness of God, aren't you? You see, the forgiveness of God is something that I need to experience and I need to have on a daily basis. When God saved me, he did nothing for my flesh. To be truthful with you, my flesh still don't want to do right. It's a struggle every day with the flesh. Many times I find myself doing things I should not be doing. And there are other times I find myself neglecting to do things that I should be doing. And whether it's a sin of commission or a sin of omission, sin is still sin and we have to deal with it. So I'm thankful for the forgiveness of God. I know here in 1 John, I know that in the context, He's writing to the believers. He's writing to those who have been saved. Let me say tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm glad to tell you tonight there's a God in heaven that's ready and willing to forgive you as well. Now, I want to make a statement, and it's going to seem to be a little bit contradictory to the verse. But before you write me off and say I'm a heretic, we'll straighten it out in just a moment. I believe there's a possibility tonight that you can be here, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, that's been taken care of. Yet you confess your sins, but God doesn't forgive you for it. With that thought in mind, look over to the book of Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 14. Jesus said these words, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There's a condition tonight that you and I, we've got to meet if we want to experience the forgiveness of God. And it's simple. We've got to learn to forgive other people. You see, as long as we live on this earth, as long as we breathe the air that God gives us, there are going to be those people that's going to do you and I wrong. There's going to be those that's going to say things about us that's not true. They're going to say things that's going to hurt our character and our testimony and things that's going to be hurtful to your church. But Jesus said, if you want your Father to forgive you, you've got to forgive those other people. I understand tonight that sometimes preaching is easy, but practicing it, whole new ball game. With that thought in mind, turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 18. Book of Matthew 18, we'll be here for the remainder of the night. Matthew chapter number 18. And I want to deal with the subject of forgiveness tonight. The subject of forgiveness. Matthew chapter number 18, I want to begin reading at verse number 21. The Bible says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Let me stop here and say something. How quick we are to forget what God has done in our life. This should have been one happy man right here. Look at what he does in verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. In this passage of Scripture, we see where Peter has a question concerning forgiveness. I know many times Peter would speak up at the wrong time. He'd say the wrong thing. He did what we do a lot. He put his foot in his mouth. But I'm glad on this particular occasion that Peter went to the right place to get the right answer. I'm glad that he didn't ask his fellow disciples, his friends, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Because I believe, Brother Ennis, I believe that one disciple probably would have said one thing, and one would have said another, and one would have said another, and Peter would have been more confused at the end than he was at the beginning. But he went straight to the Lord. He said, Lord, how many times should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? He said, what about seven times? I think Peter's sincere. I believe Peter's not trying to be a smart aleck. I believe he's being sincere. I believe he's being honest. To be able to say that you've forgiven somebody seven times, that's commendable. I've heard this said. So-and-so done me wrong and I forgave him. But if they ever do it anymore, I won't forgive them the second time. Many times we're not willing to do it twice. Peter was willing to do it seven times. I say that's commendable. Jesus answers the question. He says, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. I'm good at math. Before church, I got my calculator out again. I mean, you got to know what buttons to hit on it. I mean, but 70 times 7 is 490. I personally believe the insinuation that Jesus is telling Peter is this. Don't keep up with it. Just keep on forgiving. Just keep on, listen, if you keep track of every time somebody does you wrong and how many times you forgive them, you're going to knock off about 10 to 20 years of your life. Just keep on forgiving. Just keep on forgiving them. I want to look at this servant here in these next few verses. Number one, the servant and his debt. The servant and his debt. We see, first of all, thinking about the servant and his debt, I want to look at his plight. That word plight means a distressing condition or a distressing situation. It was a day of reckoning. Look in verse number 23. The Bible says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. It was a day of reckoning. It was something here that was inescapable. No doubt this servant had lived a life, and no doubt maybe he never gave it any thought that there was going to come a day and a time that he would have to stand before his Lord or before his King and give an account for everything that he had ever done. But that day came in his life. I remember when that day happened to me. I remember when I was brought face to face with the sin debt that I owed. Amen. Listen, I was 8 years old, and I'm going to tell you what we call that is a time of old time Holy Ghost conviction. I still believe tonight without conviction, there can and will not be any conversion. Without any conversion, there will be no change. So many times I see people coming to an altar. And I do not believe tonight that when a person comes to an altar to get saved, I do not believe that they have to be shedding tears. But on the other hand, it's going to be something they're not going to be taking it very lightly either. Conviction is a miserable experience. But conviction's a must. Many times I've seen people come to an altar. They got a big grin on their face. Popping bubble gum. We read a few verses, 1, 2, 3, repeat this after me. And then 2 weeks later, we can't find them in church. And we say, what happened? It was very easy. No conviction, therefore no conversion, no change. So we see something that was inescapable. Not only that, I see someone that was insolvent. In other words, somebody that was unable to satisfy the creditor. Look in verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay. He couldn't take care of this. Do you realize tonight that your church membership will not take care of your sin debt? Your baptism will not take care of your sin debt. Your doing good works will not take care of your sin debt. But preacher Ennis, I like the song that says something about like this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So, hey, listen, this man here, this servant, he was insolvent. He was unable to take care of that debt that he owed. Not only do we see his plight, look at the problems. Look at verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. His future is now affected. No longer will he have the freedoms maybe that he once had. He's going to be sold. I remember as an 8-year-old little boy, when I was brought under conviction, God revealed my future to me, and it wasn't a good one. It was going to be an eternity in the lake of fire. His future was affected. Not only is his future affected by this debt that he owed, but his family is also affected. Look in verse 25. The Bible says his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife. This one kind of gets me because this is not her debt. This is his debt. But yet she's going to be affected by what he did. Not only did it affect his wife, but it affected his children. This was not their debt. This was his debt. We live in a day and time where people have the mentality, I can live my life any way I want to live it. Won't hurt nobody but me. Can I tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. What I do as a dad affects my children. What I do as a husband affects my wife. What I do as a church member, it affects my church back home. So we see the problems that it brought about. Not only the plight and his problems, look at his plea. Look in verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. He pleads for patience. I'm thankful that God is a merciful God. Listen, I'm glad that when I knelt down as an 8-year little boy, I'm glad he gave me mercy instead of justice. You see, he could have let me die and went to hell, and he would have still been a just God in doing so. Thankful for his mercy. Thankful tonight he's long-suffering. Not only do we see his plea, look at his pledge. Look at the last phrase of verse 26. He says, and I will pay thee all. This struck my attention. It's a good thing this servant did not live in 2010. But Brother Ennis, we live in a day and time. You can't find nobody that does wrong anymore. Nobody. I mean, back home in Tennessee, everybody's saved. I mean, everybody's saved. People that ain't been to church in 20 years, they'll look you in the eye and tell you they're right with God. Maybe that's why I feel at home here. I believe the hardest thing a person's got to do before they can ever be saved is they've got to admit and understand they're a sinner, they're lost. Until a person comes to that understanding, I believe there's no hope for him. You say, listen, this servant, he did not deny the debt. He says, I will pay thee all. He didn't even argue about it. I believe this evening we've got moms and dads and grandparents. They're teaching their children and grandchildren that they do not have to be responsible for what they do. There used to be a day and time when I went to school, if I got a spanking at school, I got one when I got home. That day no longer exists. Now if the child gets spanked at school, we want to sue the school, sue the teacher and everybody else. This servant, he did not deny his debt. Verse 27, we see his pardon. I'm going to come back and deal with verse 27 in a few minutes. So we see the servant and the debt that he owed. Number two, look at the servant and his deed. This servant has been forgiven of a huge debt that he couldn't take care of. Now his slate has been wiped clean. As I said moments ago, Sister Betty, he should have been one happy guy. Look at what he demands in verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. La-di-da. 100. Look at what he done. He laid hands on him. And I'm sure he done this in Christian brotherly love. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Good Christian brotherly love. Pay me that thou owest. But look at what he discovers in verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, now these words should have echoed in this servant's mind. The servant is going to say the same thing. The fellow servant is going to say the same thing here that the servant said about two or three verses up. He says, have patience with me. Here's another miracle. I will pay thee all. Two people in one chapter that did not deny what they'd done wrong? Wow. He says, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Look at what he did in verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. I'm going to tell you what it sounds like tonight. It sounds just like our inconsistency. You see in verse number 26, the servant, he desires to get mercy. But in verse 30, he denies giving mercy. In verse number 26, this servant, he desires to get compassion, but in verse 30, he denies giving compassion. It's amazing how when we see somebody else go through a hard time, maybe the old devil sticks his head up in that family. Boy, how quick we are, listen, how quick we are to get the sword and start cutting and shredding to pieces. It's a spiritual thing to do. But you let the same thing happen in my life or in my family. My whole attitude changes. This is deep theology. But understand, I go to Clarksville. If it's wrong on this side of the church, it's wrong on this one as well. Amen. Not only do we see the servant and his debt, the servant and his deed, but thirdly, look at the servant and his doom. Word gets back to the king or to the Lord what this servant had done with this fellow servant. Look at verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Two words in that verse that's interesting. The first word is the word delivered. That word delivered literally means to surrender or to yield up. And the other word is the word tormentors, literally means torturers. I do not understand everything that comes into a person's life that's not willing to forgive somebody. But I do believe that one of the greatest tormentors or torturous that a person can experience for not being able to forgive or not just forgive. It's bitterness. Bitterness starts to slowly creep in. And before you know it, it'll get worse. It'll get worse and worse and worse. To eventually, it will consume you. You'll eventually get to a point where you go to bed mad at night, you wake up mad in the morning. You're mad at everything, everybody. You'll get to a point where nobody wants to be around you because you're bitter spirit. You see, bitterness is a lot bigger than I am. I can't deal with it. But I'm glad there's a God in heaven that's a lot bigger than that bitterness. And I believe as long as I'm willing to forgive that person that hurt me, regardless of what they did, I believe he just puts his arms around me, and it's not my battle, it's his battle. He fights it for me. But when I fail to forgive, he delivers me. He surrenders the fight. He delivers me to the tormentors. I'm saying tonight it's a dangerous thing not to forgive that person or those people that has done you wrong. You say, what does it mean to forgive? Go back to verse 27. Look at his pardon. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. I want to now look at this servant through the eyes of the king. This is what I see. A man that's tied up from head to toe. I mean, he is tied up. He is so tied up that if he had an itch, he couldn't even scratch it. And he is looking his king in the face and he's saying, have patience with me and I'll pay thee all. But the king looks, he says, impossible. You can't do it. I believe the king says, I'm going to have to do this one for you. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. Then the Bible says he loosed him. That word loosed means to free fully. It means to relieve. This is what I see. I see the king. He says, you can't take care of this. Begins to take that rope and begins to unwind it and begins to take it off that servant. Now the servant is free again. He can now move. He's got some freedom again. But we still got a slight problem. The king still got the ropes. And as long as the king got the ropes, at any given moment, the king can take those ropes and tie him back up with it. The Bible says not only did he loose him, he forgave him. I know this is Wednesday night, and I know we shouldn't get too excited, but that word forgave, it means to send forth. It means to put away. It means to lay aside. And I'm going to tell you something. As an 8-year-old little boy, that's exactly what God did for me when he forgave me. He took my sin, put them under the blood, never to be remembered no more. Hallelujah. Preacher, it's a wonderful thing tonight to be forgiven. Do you realize tonight, listen, when God forgave your sin, I'm thankful that he forgot it. Amen. Listen, you may remember your past. Your family might remember your past. But I'm telling you what, there's a God in heaven that when he forgave it, he forgot it. Hallelujah. People come to church. And they stand up and they give a testimony and they begin to say, oh, preacher, before I got saved, I done this, I done that. I wish tonight you could look up into heaven. I believe God's looking down. He's shaking his head. He says, I don't even know what you're talking about. And how do I do that? How can I forgive? I've heard it said. Now, when I say what I've heard, I'm going to let you know I don't agree with what I've heard before somebody says amen. I've heard it said, Brother Ennis, until you have forgotten it, you've not forgiven it. I got a problem with that one because God did not give me the ability to forget. I've known Brother Ennis 10, 12, I don't know, long time. Preacher, you've always been kind to me, always. You've never said anything out of the way to me. Let's just suppose I call Pastor Ennis. Preacher, I get you at the wrong time of the day. Brother, you lied into me. Man. Then we hang up. About 2 or 3 hours later, Pastor Ennis calls me up because I'm going to call Miss Ennis. He calls me up. He says, Brother Martin, a while ago, you called. You got me at the wrong time. And I said some things that were very hurtful to you. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I need you to forgive me. I say, Preacher, no problem. You're forgiven. See, what I've done is I've loosed him. Now that fellowship has been restored. Then a few days after that, I called my pastor back home. I said, Brother Couch, everything is going fine? Oh, before we hang up, Brother Couch, there's something that happened I need to tell you about. You know, Brother Ennis over there in Clayton? Listen, I called him up the other day at the wrong. You know what I just did? Tied you back up. I never forgave him. Look at what Jesus says in verse number 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not. Forgiveness doesn't come from the mouth. Forgiveness comes from the heart. There's another verse somewhere in the Bible that reads something like this. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if I truly forgive Pastor Ennis from my heart, then I'll never have to worry about it coming out of my mouth anymore. Does it mean I forgot it? No. I'll learn from it, and I will not call him at that time of the day no more. One other verse, and I'm done. You ain't got to turn. Ephesians 4:32. The Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You realize tonight we all that are saved, we all had a debt that we couldn't pay. I was 8 years old. You say it couldn't have been that bad. Well, let me tell you how bad my debt was. It was bad enough to send me to hell forever. It's pretty bad. You see, every time I sin, it's just like I'm at Calvary. I grab the hammer and I drive the spike a little bit deeper. You see, it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross. Every time I sin, it's just like I'm there, preacher. And I put my hand on that crown of thorns and I push it down a little bit deeper. That's what I done to God's only begotten Son. Nobody has ever done anything close to that to me. But God loved me so much, preacher. He says, Marvin, I'll forgive you for it. I won't even hold it against you. And somebody, in the heat of the moment, say something to me. I can't never get over it. What a tragedy tonight it would be for something to happen to one of my children. And because I've got unforgiveness in my heart. Remember, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, my Father won't forgive you. I can't even pray for him. How tragic. It's no telling where our churches would be tonight across America if we'd all just learn to forgive. One question, I'm done. You say, you don't know who done me wrong. You don't know what the... No, I don't need to know. I've just preached the word to you tonight. Let me ask you a question. Is it worth hanging on to? Is it worth hanging on to? Preacher, I'm done.